From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the government released its long-awaited climate policy today, but it's actually landed with a bit more of a whimper than a bang. It seems they're relying a great deal on what existing and emerging technology might be able to do in terms of meeting targets. Is that right?
Yes, that's certainly right. They've had this mantra of technology, not taxes, all through this recent iteration of the climate debate. It's a false binary, but nevertheless, they think that that's what people want to hear. And so this roadmap is very, very technology heavy, and it also relies on assumptions about technology. And of course, when you're making assumptions, it can be dicey at the best of times. If you're making assumptions for nearly 3 decades, then you can be getting into very problematic territory. For example, among the figures they're giving, the calculations, they're assuming that 15% of the way to net zero by 2050 will come from global technology trends. Well, of course, that may or may not happen. They're also talking about 15% from further technology breakthroughs. So you do see that this roadmap is really not as solid as you might think, and given the time frame, that does mean that anything could happen along the pathway.
One of the details in the announcement today was a projection of up to 35% emissions reduction by 2030. But Scott Morrison stressed this was a projection rather than a target. So what does that mean, Michelle?
What this means is that Scott Morrison went to the election saying that Australia's medium-term target for reducing emissions would be 26 to 28%. That was said earlier before he became Prime Minister, but what he was saying was that the government wouldn't alter that, wouldn't make it more ambitious. Now he is saying that to keep that election promise, he's going to Glasgow with this projection, even though it's a more ambitious level. He's not turning it into a target, a hard and fast target. So he's trying to have things both ways. He's trying to say, I keep faith with what I said at the election. But on the other hand, he's also trying to please, accommodate partially those who want Australia to have a more ambitious medium-term commitment. And of course, they include Boris Johnson and Joe Biden. So the government's line is that we're going to get to this up to 35% level anyway on present policies so that we can boast that level, but we're not formally committing to it.
Okay, and Scott Morrison is trying to walk a fine line here electorally in terms of reassuring some Australians that jobs won't be lost through this plan, while also responding to the urgency around reducing emissions. So how successful has he been at doing that, do you think?
I think he is presenting what is a false picture, really, because making this transition to a cleaner energy world, a cleaner energy economy, does involve costs, is going to involve some pain, is going to put an additional burden on the taxpayer. And the government's already committed to a multi-billion dollar program of investing in technologies to try to make sure that we get technological progress at the maximum speed to get us down this road to net zero emissions. So Scott Morrison wants to say to people, really, this is all going to be relatively easy to do, and reassure them that life is not going to be too much disrupted. But we know when there are big economic transitions going on that there is disruption and there is pain. There's gain, there are opportunities, but nevertheless, you can't gild the lily to the extent I think that the government would like to do so. It's like, for example, when when Australia went to a low tariff regime and abolished tariffs on various things and tried to get them right down to zero or near zero. Of course, there was disruption and pain, but there was gain overall for the economy and for our living standards.
Okay, and we found out yesterday that the Nationals have agreed to a target of net zero by 2050. Do we know any more details yet about exactly what was in that deal, aside from them getting an extra cabinet position?
This is a bit extraordinary because we did expect that we'd get some list of what the Nationals had got for their signing up to this target. In fact, all we know, apart from the cabinet position, is that there'll be a productivity commission review every 5 years to look at the socioeconomic effects and other things involved in moving along to net zero. But we haven't got the other gains and safeguards that they were apparently promised. It does seem that these might come out not all in one lot, but over time as we go through the months. And I think that if they are not announced together and very soon, that does leave Barnaby Joyce in an even more difficult position than he is at the moment, because how can he go and other Nationals go to the regions and say, look, this target is accompanied by a whole lot of protections that we won for you? Because I don't think out in the regions they're going to be much reassured by regular productivity commission inquiries. That's certainly going to be seen as really not much at all. So I think that the Nationals have probably a difficult case to sell in some areas. Of course, in other areas, people and farmers and townspeople are very signed up to net zero, and we've seen this through farming organisations. But in various parts of Nationals' land, they are not. And I think that the messages coming back from some of the hardcore National supporters have been pretty negative even before today's announcement. If they don't get to see soon what the Nationals won in terms of protections, then I think they'll be even more sceptical of the policy.
All right. Great to speak with you as always, Michelle. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.